The voice you are about to hear belongs to a fictional character. The events do not. They are unfolding across London today. This is Zainab's story. She is a physiotherapist trying to work in the NHS, where qualified healthcare professionals cannot find permanent positions while treatment rooms stand empty and patients wait months for care. Her experience reflects the workforce planning failures that have left Tooting and constituencies across London with resources that exist but cannot be deployed. Here is what she told us.
I always knew I wanted to be a physiotherapist. When my grandmother had her stroke, I was 16 and watched her learn to walk again through months of rehabilitation. The physiotherapist who worked with her explained every exercise, every small improvement, with such patience and precision. I thought, this is what I want to do with my life. Help people rebuild what they thought they had lost forever. My father worked nights at Heathrow, cargo handling, and my mother was a teaching assistant in Mitcham. They saved for years so I could go to Kingston University. I graduated in 2014 with my BSc and started working in private clinics around South London. The work was rewarding, but I kept thinking about my grandmother, about all the people who needed physiotherapy but could never afford £80 per session. I wanted to work for the NHS, to help people who had no other option. In 2017, I started applying for NHS positions across South London. I had 3 years of experience, excellent references, and was eager to take on the challenge of working in the public sector. The first response came from St George's University Hospital's NHS Foundation Trust. The recruitment manager was apologetic but clear. We would love to interview you, but we have had to freeze all non-essential recruitment due to budget constraints from NHS England. I tried Epsom and St Helier University Hospital's NHS Trust next. The physiotherapy department head seemed genuinely keen to hire me. We had a long conversation about their caseload and where I would fit in. Then she explained the problem. Health Education England has cut our funded training places for specialist roles. We simply cannot afford to bring new staff into the department without additional funding approval. For 6 months, I applied to trust after trust. King's College Hospital. Budget pressures from HM Treasury mean we cannot expand the physiotherapy team. Croydon Health Services. We are operating under financial constraints that prevent new hires. Guy's and St Thomas's. The funding envelope for allied health professionals has been capped by NHS England. Every conversation ended the same way. They wanted to hire me, they had the work for me to do, but someone, somewhere, had decided there was no money. I took agency work because I had to pay rent. I moved between different hospitals week by week, covering for permanent staff who were off sick or on leave. It was exhausting and expensive. I had to pay for my own travel between sites, and I never knew where I would be working from 1 week to the next. But it meant I could see the system from the inside. The contradiction became impossible to ignore. At every hospital, I met permanent staff who were overworked and understaffed. Waiting lists for physiotherapy stretched for months. Patients were being discharged from hospital before they had received the rehabilitation they needed because there were not enough physiotherapists to treat them. Yet every trust told me the same thing. There is no funding for new positions. In early 2019, I was doing agency work at a hospital in Roehampton when a colleague mentioned the old physiotherapy training centre nearby. "Shame about that place," she said. "Closed last year due to budget pressures. Such a waste." I decided to walk past it on my lunch break. The building was still there, obviously. 3 floors of purpose-built training facilities, with a sign still visible. Health Education England, Physiotherapy Training Centre. I could see through the windows. The treatment beds were still there, covered in dust sheets. The parallel bars for gait training. The hydrotherapy pool, drained but intact. Fully equipped rooms where physiotherapists could have been learning advanced techniques, practicing with the latest equipment. I stood there for 20 minutes, staring at those empty rooms. I thought about all the conversations I had had over the past 2 years. There is no funding. Budget constraints. Financial pressures. Here was a building specifically designed to train physiotherapists, sitting empty. While I knew dozens of qualified physios like me who could not find permanent NHS positions, the equipment existed, the space existed, the people who wanted to use it existed. Later that year, I was working at a practice in Tooting when I met a colleague who had moved down from Essex. He told me about Kwame, a physiotherapist in Romford, who had faced exactly the same workforce planning failures. "It is not just South London," he said. "It is everywhere. They keep saying there is no money to train people or hire people, but the need is obviously there." That was when I started to understand what was really happening. The government that issues the pound was telling me it could not find enough pounds to connect trained physiotherapists to the wards that needed them. But I had seen the training centre. I had seen the equipment. I had met the people who wanted to work and the patients who needed treatment. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the materials were available. They were. All of them. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It is the same logic as a household that says, "We cannot afford it," except a household does not issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. I am still here, still working agency contracts, still watching. But now I understand that what happened to me was not bad luck or unfortunate timing. It was a series of political decisions made by people in HM Treasury and NHS England who had alternatives. They chose to treat public investment as a cost to be minimised rather than as the means by which trained physiotherapists reach the wards that need them. That choice has consequences. Not just for me, but for every patient waiting months for treatment that could have been available immediately if the training centres had stayed open and the recruitment freezes had never been imposed. This is not just my story. It is the story of every constituency where healthcare professionals and patients exist side by side, while someone in Westminster says the cupboard is bare.
What Zainab experienced has a name: impossible expectations. This technique demands a guarantee of zero waste or perfect outcomes before committing a single pound to public services, a standard that is never applied to tax cuts or bank bailouts. Think of how this works in other contexts. For decades, tobacco companies demanded impossible proof that smoking caused cancer, insisting that correlation was not causation, even when the evidence was overwhelming. They set the bar so high that no amount of data could ever satisfy their requirements for certainty. Only when the link was undeniable did they finally concede the point. In Zainab's story, this technique operated every time an NHS trust was told they could not hire physiotherapists without absolute certainty that every pound would be perfectly deployed. HM Treasury applied standards to NHS workforce planning that they would never dream of applying to corporate tax relief or financial sector support. When banks needed bailouts in 2008, there were no demands for guarantees that every pound would be used efficiently. The money was simply created and deployed because the need was judged urgent. But when it comes to training physiotherapists or hiring healthcare workers, suddenly the standard becomes impossibly high. Every potential inefficiency is treated as grounds for rejecting the entire program. The fact that the UK government issues its own currency becomes irrelevant because the focus shifts to demanding perfect outcomes that no public service could ever guarantee. The austerity objection, that the NHS is a bottomless pit, is itself an impossible expectation, setting a standard where no amount of evidence of need is ever sufficient. The resources existed, the people existed, the decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Tooting ranks 372 out of 543 English constituencies for deprivation. The constituency has 607 registered charities and received £34.2 million in total grants. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics, produced by Blocked Britain.